بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الإسلام خير؟ قال: تطعم الطعام وتقرأ السلام على من عرفت ومن لم تعرف. متفق عليه. One aspect which we very often have mentioned in the past is that matloob or desired in Shariat is not quantity but rather quality. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala says, we are testing you to see who amongst you. Logically, we would have expected it to be أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, who will do the most actions. But, interestingly, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who amongst you will do the most superior, who will do the most beautiful, who will do the best of actions. So from this we learn an important lesson, that in every aspect of our dini life, we should constantly be making effort for perfection, for beauty. We should be making effort how the quality of our amal can increase. Just now we made Fajr Salah. The question we should be asking ourselves is that the Fajr Salah which we read yesterday and the Fajr Salah which we read today, is it the same? Or is it inferior or is it superior? We should constantly be striving that how it can become superior, how it can become better. My zikrullah, my tilawat of Quran, my salah, etc. We see the same theme that is found in this particular hadith. Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma. Interestingly, the narrator of this hadith, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, amongst the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is known as A'badu sahaba. The sahabi who used to make the most ibadat. It is mentioned about his ma'mul that he would fast every day. And he would complete one khatam of the Qur'an every day. And he was a sahabi who would strive the entire night to be engaged in the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he narrates this hadith that a person came and asked a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we said, matloob desired in Shariat is not excessive amal but is an increase in the quality of our amal. So the question, Ayyul Islami Khair, Ya Rasulullah, what is the best of Islam? Ayyul Islami Khair, what is the best of Islam? We find a similar question in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked, who is the best Muslim? Who is the best Muslim? Our understanding, our perception of Islam would be that the response to this should be, who is the best Muslim, is a man you'll always see in tahajjud, is a person who you'll always see in ibadat, is a person who you'll always see reading the Quran. Whenever you look for him, you'll find him in zikr, in salah. But what was the answer in that hadith? In other words, a lot of times when I mention that hadith, I like to put it into context, for us to understand, appreciate the meaning of it. For example, if Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive today amongst us, if he was amongst us, in South Africa, Muslim population of South Africa plus minus 1 million, 1.5 million, Allah knows best what it is. If this question, if Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amongst us and this question was put to him that Ya Rasulullah, of the 1 million plus minus Muslims in South Africa, in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best Muslim? Like I said, many of us straight away when we hear of superiority in Islam or deen, the first thing the mind goes to is what? person who makes the most ibadat, person who is always in tahajjud, in zikr, etc. Ya Rasulullah, who is the best Muslim in South Africa? What is the response? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. Man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. He is that person who every time he opens his mouth, every time he opens his mouth, the roses come out, thorns don't come out. He is that person. I'm not giving a literal translation of the hadith, I'm explaining the meaning of the hadith. Who is the best Muslim? That person from whose tongue and hands every person is safe. He is the best Muslim amongst you. So one is our perception, understanding of what is Islam and deen and superiority in deen and Islam. And the other is what is taught to us in Quran and hadith. Coming back to this hadith, Ayyul Islami Khair. What is the best of Islam? In other words, who is the best Muslim? What is the most superior action of Islam? What is the most superior action of Islam? We would expect it to be salah. We would expect it to be sawm, fasting. We would expect it to be zakat. We would expect it to be hajj. Yet, what is the answer Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives? Ayyul Islami khair. Ya Rasulullah, what is perfection in Islam? What is the best of Islam? Qala tut'imu ta'am. He said to feed people. To feed people. The reason Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this particular hadith in this chapter is quite clear. What is the chapter we are dealing with? Generosity, magnanimity. In other words, you can never be a superior Muslim unless you are generous. You can never be a true superior Muslim. There can never be khair in your Islam. You can never be striving for perfection in Islam if you don't feel in your heart the plight of the poor. If a hungry person in front of you does not affect you, if the suffering of the Muslim Ummah does not affect you to the extent that you don't dig deep in your pocket, you don't spend upon people, you don't feed people, then there can never be khair in your Islam. So this is a soul-searching question that every one of us should be asking ourselves. We should be digging deep. Today we think, wake up for tahajjud and you're a very good Muslim. Today we think fast, keep nafil fast and you're a very good Muslim. Read Quran regularly and you're a very... These are important aspects, but perfection of Islam, superiority of Islam, being the best Muslim in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, my respected brothers, is these ahadith, is these things which we are taught, that how generous are you? Man at'ama akhahu hatta yushbi'ahu وَسَقَاهُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ حَتَّى يُرْوِعَهُ بَعَدَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ جَهَنَّمْ سَبْعَ خَنَادِرْ مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ خَنْدِقَيْنِ مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسِ مِئَةِ عَامِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول پاک صلى الله عليه وسلم said, feed your brother who is hungry till you have satisfied his hunger. Or give a thirsty person water till his thirst has been satiated. What will Allah give you? What will Allah give you? Allah will distance you from Jahannam 7 trenches. The distance of each trench is 500 years. It's mentioned the riwayat of Ibn Hibban that there was one person amongst the Bani Israel. He made ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years in total solitude. This was a practice that was prevalent amongst the previous ummats. Islam abrogated that. Islam does not advocate that a person cuts himself off in some cave or in some tent and only makes ibadat and doesn't engage with the people. That is what we call monasticism, asceticism, or the Arabic term for it is rahbaniyat. In Islam did away with rahbaniyat, but we find in the previous ummah this was there. There were certain people, their whole life they only made ibadat. This person from the Bani Israel, in this riwayat of Ibn Hibban, Rasulullah mentions that this man made ibadat for 60 years. And then after 60 years, he came out of his ibadat place. Someone gave him 2 loaves of bread. He ate a little bit. And then he got attracted by a very beautiful woman to such an extent that he got entrapped by her and he committed zina. Na'uzu billah. After having committed zina, he saw a poor person who was hungry. And the little bread that he had left, he gave it to this person to eat. And then he walked a little bit further, and the taqdeer of Allah became ghalib, and this person passed away. The time of his mort had come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of judgment, his 60 years of ibadat will be weighed against the one act of zina that he committed. And it will be found that the act of zina will be heavier in the scale of deeds than the 60 years of ibadah. So in other words, his abode, Allah protect us, will be Jahannam, if it is left to that. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his act of generosity, that he fed a hungry person, was weighed against the zina. And this act of generosity was found to be weightier. Weightier than the zina that he committed, and weightier, in other words, than the 60 years of ibadat. And on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the maghfirat of this person. So this is something that we cannot take lightly. This is something that is very, very important. Today we see people are suffering around us. As Muslims, we cannot be blind to their suffering. There can never be perfection in our Islam. There can never be beauty in our Islam. We can never become an attractive Muslim. We can never become a true ambassador of Islam unless we dig deep in our pockets. Unless we develop this quality of generosity. A Muslim is a generous person. A Muslim is one who feels the pain and the plight of others. A Muslim is in the forefront of assisting others. Otherwise, his Islam is not of a superior level. He hasn't perfected and beautified his Islam. Coming back to this hadith, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that a person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul Islami khayr. Ya Rasulullah, what is the best of Islam? What is the beauty of Islam? What is a lot of translations you can make of this particular question that is being put. The answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two things. Two things is the khayr of Islam, perfection of Islam, beauty of Islam. The first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, tut'imu ta'am, that feed the people. One, I'm just digressing for us to understand how important this aspect of feeding people. Even in Hajj, Hajj Mabrur, you ask anybody who's going for Hajj, or when you make dua for the Hajis, what dua we make? And we are taught also, Allahumma ij'al hajjana hajjan mabrura. That Ya Allah, make our hajj hajj mabrur. And what is hajj mabrur? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Between this hajj and jannah, there's no obstacle. The only return is jannah. If you have got hajj mabrur, you are a jannati. That is what this hadith means. Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. So sahaba, when they heard this, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma birrul hajj? Ya Rasulullah, how does the Hajj become mabrur? Hajis every year 2 million. And millions have performed Hajj. What makes a Hajj Hajj mabrur? This is the question Sahaba asking. Ya Rasulullah, what makes the Hajj Hajj mabrur? What the answer should have been? That this person ties his ihram and is in ibadat all the time. And you can see his piety, etc. Yet, what is the answer Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives? Ma birrul hajj. Ya Rasulullah, what makes the hajj hajj mabrur? Allahu Akbar. What answer Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives? It'amu ta'am. He said it is that haji who feeds the people. It is that haji who is generous. It is that haji who you see serving other people. And the second thing he mentioned, tibul kalam. It is that haji who, this nagan, the snake of the tongue, he controls it during Hajj. He doesn't strike with this tongue at anyone. Like, coming back to what we said previously, when his mouth opens, the roses come out, thorns don't come out. So coming back to this hadith, first thing Rasulullah SAW mentioned was tut'imu ta'am. And the second thing, inshallah, we'll continue another time. SubhanAllah.